doesn't surprise me that all these Federalist Society lawyers throw out lawsuits against President Bush.
The CIA contradicts the president by saying Saddam Hussein is not likely to use his weapons unless he is attacked.
Unless this council has decided by the 17th that Iraq has met the kinds of tests that have been out there for Iraq to meet all along, then they've lost their last chance.
You know, we've got domestic problems in the UK. You know, we've got our health service in smithereens. And yet you want to spend more money on bombing the hell out of this place, Iraq.
This is Pacifica's Peace Watch for Friday, March 14th, 2003. I'm Verna Avery Brown. The United States sent a powerful signal last night that it will soon abandon efforts to win the second United Nations resolution, in effect clearing the decks for military action against Iraq late next week. Washington left the door open to a few extra days of diplomacy so that frantic negotiations on Britain's near moribund compromise plan could continue over the weekend. A vote that had been expected today could be put off until Monday, according to White House officials. But the Secretary of State Colin Powell confirmed that the resolution could be simply withdrawn if the campaign to win votes was seen to be failing. War could follow swiftly. He said, quote, "We are still talking to members of the Security Council to see what is possible." He said the options still open included not going for a vote. At the same time, Ari Fleischer, the White House spokesman, said President George Bush would allow Britain to keep trying a bit longer, perhaps until Monday. It may conclude tomorrow. It may continue into next week, he said. But he also indicated that the president might reverse the promise he made last week that no matter what the whip count, the U.S. could force the issue to a vote. Mr. Bush has always decided that the U.S. didn't need a second resolution to act, Mr. Fleischer said. Responding to questions from the media after a briefing before the U.S. House Appropriations Committee yesterday, U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell said the resolution submitted to the U.N. Security Council last week by Britain is supported by the United States and Spain. Powell explained that for other nations who have doubts about proceeding with force against Iraq, this resolution presents a means through which it may be clearly judged whether or not Iraq is in compliance.
The resolution that is before the Council is a resolution that the British put down last Friday with co-sponsorship from the United States and Spain. We put down that resolution as a way to give those nations who wanted to see whether there is one last chance for Iraq to comply something that they could support. And it was pretty straightforward. Unless this council has decided by the 17th, at the time we put it down last week, that Iraq has met the kinds of tests that have been out there for Iraq to meet all along, then they've lost their last chance. Over the past several days, the British, in an effort to even be more specific as to what Iraq can do to get out of the box that they have put themselves in, came up with this list of six tests as a way to see whether more nations could find this a way forward. And we watched and helped the Brits with this effort. We are in a period of consultation on the six tests. Not all of us have bought all of the various elements of the six test language, but we're certainly working closely with the British, with the Spanish, and many others. And so the British put it down yesterday as a way to be helpful, to see if there was a way to move forward. Instantly, one member of the council, one of the permanent members, dismissed it out of hand. It said they'll veto anyway. They're going to veto anything, any language, anything that comes along, they said they would veto. And then shortly thereafter, Iraq rejected it. So Iraq isn't looking for a solution. They know the tests. The tests have been out there forever. When Dr. Blix put down his unresolved key task last Friday, it was once again an inventory, a list of all the things and all the questions that Iraq has not responded to, has not answered over the years. And so this was a British effort to go one last step. The options remain: go for a vote and see what members say, or not go for a vote. But there are all the options that you can imagine are before us, and we'll be examining them today, tomorrow, and into the weekend.
U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell. Though the U.N. vote has been delayed for the time being, the inevitability of war with Iraq still looms on the not-so-distant horizon. But Paul De La Panesse, political science professor at Adrian College in Michigan, has an idea. He spoke with Peace Watch earlier today about it.
Yes, what I'm suggesting is that he announce that he will not, with, you know, if it comes to the point where President Bush were to announce that he was giving, you know, say 3 days to for the inspectors and other people to get out of Iraq prior to an attack, and the Secretary General could announce that the inspectors work for the United Nations, not the United States, and he was not going to withdraw them unless either he is ordered to do so by the Security Council or the inspectors themselves tell him that there's no use and they're going on.
So that would, in fact, put the whole onus back on the Security Council where...
That's right. And, of course, I don't think they could get a resolution telling him to withdraw the inspectors, at least not unless the circumstances were quite different than they are now.
Mm-hmm. And so what are the possibilities or the chances that he would go ahead with bombing with the weapons inspectors in
Iraq? That's a question that has come up. And my own feeling is that the president would be very unlikely to proceed with that. I think it would be a public relations nightmare, and it might kind of sober people in Washington up a little bit,
mm-hmm,
if this were to happen, and especially if the Secretary General were to do it in a fairly dramatic way, perhaps making an address to the world or something in the process of announcing this idea.
Have you actually spoken to Kofi Annan about this?
Oh, I have no channels for getting to him. And in fact, you might be interested to know what we've been trying to do. You simply can't send a communication if you're not a person of prominence directly to somebody like that. And so what I've been trying to do is to get the idea circulated so widely that somebody who is socially close to the Secretary General would see it and perhaps be able to take it to him and make him aware of this idea.
What sort of consequences would such an announcement by Kofi Annan likely have?
Well, I think it would certainly cause quite a bit of surprise, except perhaps to the people that read the article that I wrote on this and that was on Common Dreams Tuesday afternoon on the Internet. I really think that it would produce some sober thinking and perhaps some reflection, and I think it would greatly reduce the danger that we would have a war immediately. Now, it's possible, as you say yourself, that it might just delay things if the inspectors were to come to a dead end or something. But I think there's a pretty good chance it would delay the war long enough that perhaps some other possible solutions,
mm-hmm,
might come to public attention.
Well, now, what do you think the likelihood is that if the Secretary General were to receive this information, that he would actually act on it?
That's also a question that I've been asked. I've had some email. I've had more email on this thing than I've ever had before, you know, even with articles in major city newspapers like the Detroit Free Press or the Portland Oregonian. I now live in Oregon. I've never gotten more than 5 or 6 responses to one of my op-ed columns, and I always put my email address in them because I like to communicate with readers. So there's been a lot of excitement. Would you repeat your question? I'm afraid I got ran
off
the track there.
Basically, what do you think the chances are that Kofi Annan would actually
that? Several of my correspondents have said, well, he's not going to do it. He was just put in there because he's a lapdog for the United States. My response to that is that people don't always, you know, whatever the motives for putting him in the office, I think he's a very good man. I think he's very intelligent. I think that sometimes people don't do what they were expected to do, and I think this is a good chance that he might actually do it if the idea can be gotten to him.
Mm-hmm. He did make the announcement earlier this week that if the U.S. were to go to attack Iraq unilaterally, that it would be a violation of the U.N. Charter.
Yes, right. Yeah, which doesn't sound very much like a lapdog to me, and I was kind of encouraged when I heard that he had made that comment. But that doesn't prove, of course, that he would do this. But my basic point is that unless the idea occurs to him, he's not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I've been trying to encourage. At first I put it, you know, my first effort to get it to him was to do so quietly. It happens that the president of the college that I taught at in Michigan was a classmate of Kofi Annan's mm-hmm. at McAllister College when they were both undergraduates. And so I communicated with Stan Kane, the president at Adrian College, and said, do you have a way of getting an idea to Kofi Annan? And he regretted that he did not. I mean, they were acquainted many years ago, but he doesn't have a good channel.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I decided I would write it up as an op-ed column and try to get it into some of the newspapers that occasionally publish my writing. But after I hadn't gotten any positive responses after about a day, and since time was very short, I then decided to put it out as kind of an implicit chain letter, or at least, get people to forward it to interested people on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And after about a day of that, a friend suggested that I submit it to Common Dreams. I had never heard of the place. And I did so.
And that's a very progressive website that
yeah,
has been.
Yeah, and I did that about 2 yes. o'clock in the afternoon, Pacific Standard Time, Tuesday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had it on within about an hour, and I started getting hit with, I've had more than 220 emails in response to the article
now,
at that point. So it really got it going.
Did you attempt to have your, did you send your op-ed to the New York Times or the Washington Post?
I did not send it to the Washington Post because their guidelines suggest a word limit that's actually higher, you know, minimum and maximum. And usually I run into a problem with maximums, you know, where I have something to say that takes more than that. But it happened that this article was fairly short and it was under the guidelines for the Washington Post.
You can't stretch it out a little bit?
Well, they also wanted an exclusive, according to the guidelines of the Washington Post, and I wasn't prepared to give anybody an exclusive on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I did send it to the Times and figured that if they would take it, that I'd call it off. If they wanted an exclusive, I figured I could live with that, you know, because it has such a great circulation.
Mm-hmm.
But I never heard from them. I haven't heard anything from the Detroit Free Press, which publishes my things occasionally, or the Portland Oregonian, or the smaller papers that I deal with. So
have you
it just didn't seem to be getting anywhere.
Have you contacted any of the electronic media?
Not really. It's the only one that I've done. Oh, you mean radio?
Radio, television, the networks.
I have not done that. One of the people who read the article in Common Dreams, and who is a graduate student at St. John's College in Annapolis, made some suggestions. And in fact, he attempted to bring the article to the attention of some radio stations, I think possibly including yours, although I don't think that was how it actually, I was brought to your attention.
No,
but I
actually
haven't done that
producer.
Myself, and I've been so snowed under, and I don't really know how to mm-hmm. do that anyway. I've never been mm-hmm. you know, that active in trying to get attention for an idea.
One of the things that sort of concerns me is that even if Kofi Annan were to make this announcement, and I just sort of imagine that the Bush administration might at some point say, well, we're only going to go after military targets anyway. So there's a slim chance that
well,
any
of course,
civilians.
Well, of course, the military targets that that the inspectors are trying to find and are hopefully clustered around. So I suppose that is a possibility, but it just seems to me like this would have a fairly good chance of working.
Mm, okay.
And I am not a hostile person towards Mr. Bush. I indeed voted for him. And I've gotten some emails saying that, you know, you're a Republican hater and you're a socialist and a left-winger. And it's quite the contrary. I have tended to be a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible that I might not be in the future. I've been very unhappy about the way this Iraq situation has developed.
Mm. Paul De L'Espinesi, a political science professor at Adrian College in Michigan. As it seems more and more likely that the U.S. and Britain will go to war without the consent of the U.N. Security Council, opponents of war are considering measures to remove them from office. President Bush and Prime Minister Blair. Professor Francis Boyle spoke with Peace Watch yesterday regarding filing articles of impeachment against President George W. Bush.
Every president since Nixon has said that the War Powers Resolution is unconstitutional. Second, Congress cannot delegate its war powers to the president. It's for Congress to exercise its war powers. And that is our position and will be the position in one of the articles of impeachment.
But
and that was the same position that Congressman Gonzalez took in the bill of impeachment he introduced on January 16th, 1991, that he had to have, Bush Sr. had to have a declaration of war.
And it didn't work then?
We didn't have enough time then. Congress voted for war, that war powers vote on a Saturday. On Sunday, Ramsey, Congressman Gonzalez, and I agreed to set the campaign up. Monday, I did the first draft. Tuesday, we announced it. And Wednesday, Bush Sr. went to war. Now we have more time. I've had a team of students working on this project with me since October when I started this campaign. Our draft bill of impeachment is now in the hands of a fairly large number of members of Congress. It is under active review and consideration, and we're hoping to get one of them to put it in, and then we can have everyone in the country mobilized behind that bill with one message: impeach Bush. If he goes to war, we will impeach him.
Haven't a number of courts, however, addressed this issue of whether or not Congress can abrogate its authority and ruled against it in recent months?
No, what, all they've done is thrown it out on those types of lawsuits were all thrown out on technicalities. The Dellums lawsuit I worked on to try to stop Bush Sr., that was thrown out on a technicality.
No, I mean recent ones.
Right. Well, Campbell v. Clinton was thrown out on a technicality, no standing. There was one up in
even
Boston,
more recent, I think.
Right, the one up in Boston was thrown out on a technicality that the members of Congress did not have standing. That is now on emergency appeal to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit. So I guess we'll see what they decide. But all these, you know, all these lawsuits pretty much have been lost on a technicality. But the court cannot bind Congress just because, you know, we have to understand that since Reagan came to power in 1981, we have seen the federal judiciary packed with right-wing, reactionary, fascistic lawyers from the Federalist Society that fully adhere to the imperial presidency doctrine. So impeachment is in the hands of Congress, not the courts. Doesn't surprise me that all these Federalist Society lawyers throw out lawsuits against President Bush. That's why we're taking it to Congress.
But the Congress is a majority Republican Congress.
Well, and, you know, when people put the bill of impeachment in against Nixon, I don't think that most people felt it had a chance of success, and it did. So we're going to put it in. I've heard from a lot of Republicans in the last several months saying they voted for Bush, but what he's doing is completely outrageous. And we've contacted some Republican members of the House, too. They haven't turned us down. They haven't said they'd do it, but they haven't turned us down.
Francis Boyle is a professor of law at the University of Illinois at Champaign. Yesterday, a federal appeals court upheld a lower court's dismissal of a challenge of Bush's power to go to war without a declaration of war by Congress. Stephen Sawyer, political advisor to Greenpeace International in Amsterdam, is in New York City monitoring events at the United Nations. Sawyer spoke to Peace Watch yesterday regarding a scenario whereby Tony Blair is in danger of being removed from office if he proceeds to war against Iraq with no U.N. approval.
Colin Powell, apparently in front of some House committee or other, was saying that the option of there being no vote on this resolution is in the mix and is on the table. I mean, just withdrawing the resolution and the U.S. and the U.K. Go off to war. Now, if that occurs, then Tony Blair's future, I think, can be measured in days or weeks, but not months. I don't think he will survive as Prime Minister of Great Britain if if that occurs.
They would, what, impeach him on the spot?
No, they don't need to. The parliamentary democracy, they could have a leadership challenge within the Labour Party and replace him quite quickly. And I think the small amount of support that he has, even at present, is very dangerous to him politically. But they have wrested a promise from him to go back to Parliament prior to committing forces to this operation. And if he goes back to them without the sanction of the UN Security Council, I don't think he'll get it. And that would bring about a crisis in the government. The Labour Party has such an enormous majority in the British Parliament that I don't think it would be a question of calling new elections. I think it would be just a question of a change of leadership in the Labour Party.
Stephen Sawyer, political advisor to Greenpeace International. People and nations around the world are mobilizing to stop or prevent an attack on Iraq while making emergency plans of action should the Bush administration step up its aggression on the Arab nation. Reem Khatouda, Peace Watch producer at WPFW Pacifica Station in Washington, D.C., has more on those plans.
As the United States administration tries to cajole, bribe, and force the UN Security Council members into permitting an attack on Iraq, activists and other citizens of the world are mobilizing very creatively to counter the pressure and stop an attack waged since the 90s on this sovereign nation country. At a recent weekend of mobilization sponsored by Code Pink, women from across the country reported on some of their actions to stop this war. Rania Masri from the Institute for Civil Studies in North Carolina detailed the media strategy.
We put our focus on local newspapers. And local newspapers, we do have an outlet. Forget New York Times, Washington Post, USA Today, for those who don't live in D.C., we do have an outlet to the local papers, and you do it by building relationships. You do it by finding ways to talk about the issue. If I submit an op-ed to my paper, talk about Iraqis dying, they don't give a damn. But I submit an op-ed and talk about weapons of mass destruction, and in the discussion talk about the Iraqis dying, they care, because that's their line. So we use techniques to get to them, and it works. Local talk shows, local newspapers, public access television. We all have public access television in our communities. Use it.
Natalie Patrice with Black Voices for Peace talked about their street actions.
It is not possible to change what's going on without each of us individually being the change we want to see. How many random strangers have you said today, you know, how do you feel about what's going on with Iraq? How often do you take public transit so that you have the opportunity to talk to people who you wouldn't necessarily get a chance to talk to? You know, our national media that's controlled by like three or four people to dictate to us what is reality. The reality is the conversations that we're having with each other, the opportunities to be peace, to show that human needs are more important than militarism. You know, make your body a banner. Make your backpack a banner. Make your windowsill a banner. Talk to each other. Go out to spaces like today, like we are today, and talk to like-minded people to build your resistance. And then go to the places that you would never imagine that you would find a friend and speak from a space of love and peace about the truth, about how much energy and resources are being sucked from our important needs, water and air and food and community, to go to this disgusting.
Meanwhile, Peace Roots Alliance took their actions to the highway.
We put up over 40 billboards across the country so far for under $10,000. And it was because people like you sent us $25 and $100. Our biggest donation was $1,000 worth of stock. So far, we've gotten to Atlanta and Louisville. We want to do this in Washington. And what it is the papers and the media pick this up and give us free advertising everywhere we go. So that's part of our strategy that anybody can pick up.
At a press conference detailing the plans for this Saturday's rally in Washington, D.C., Mara Verheyden-Hillard, on the steering committee of the International Ansar Coalition, detailed recommended emergency plans of stepped-up actions all over the United States in case the war plans get stepped up.
as an immediate emergency response, there will be emergency actions all around the United States on the day of any new bombing attack that will occur at 5 p.m. if the bombing starts that day, or 5 p.m. the next day if the bombing starts at night. The Answer Coalition, however, has called across the United States for a walkout, and people around the United States are organizing, and they, if this should happen, will be getting up and leaving their homes and their offices and their schools and walking out into the streets and assembling at the central locations in their cities for immediate action that day.
According to Damu Smith, the founder of the national organization Black Voices for Peace and a member of both UNSR and United for Peace and Justice, stepped-up actions will start as early as next Monday.
There will be civil disobedience actions taking place beginning next week. And in addition, this Saturday, if indeed the U.S. escalates what they're already doing with Britain, there will be massive protests in this country and around the world. So in other words, if the invasion takes place on a Thursday, there will be emergency actions that day, but then the Saturday after, there will be massive protests here and abroad. So people are already preparing for nonviolent, militant disobedience. We will not allow business as usual in this country and around the world if this administration, in defiance of international opinion and international law, plunges the world into war.
Even the religious community is mobilized to stop this war, according to Mehdi Bray, executive director of MASS, the Muslim American Society Freedom Foundation.
The religious community, as a coalition, has indicated that we will not give ourselves to this action. Therefore, in the spirit of Dr. King, we will participate in massive civil disobedience.
Meanwhile, Congress members of both the House and the Senate have proposed resolutions to reverse Bush's use of force in Iraq, with resolution SR-32 and HR-20, and activists lobbied Congress members to pass these resolutions. Activists are also recommending to all opposed to this war to not wait until the bombs are dropped on Iraq to step up their actions. They ask all to take to the streets as soon as the UN weapon inspectors or the USA citizens are pulled out of Iraq, hoping that this would paralyze the system and stop the war. Quote, "We assume the United States and Britain won't bomb before their own citizens are safe." For Pacifica's Peace Watch, reporting from WPFW, Pacifica Station in Washington, D.C., I'm Reem Katkhuda.
You're listening to Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown. We'll be back in a moment. Thank you.